Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
They're watching those things. See, and it's in those times where we minister, where we're a light, where our light shines. And that can only happen, we can only have the right response if we're building in ourselves the right attitude toward our work in the first place. Christians should be the model of faithfulness, integrity, dependability, hard work, quality work, excellence, doing the best, not giving God the leftovers, but everything with excellence.
Oftentimes we look at jobs outside of the ministry as being less important. When we don't see the value in an occupation, it can be tempting to allow a bad attitude to take over and just do the bare minimum required to get by. As Pastor Troy reminds us in today's message, the eyes of our unsaved co-workers, friends, and family members are on us. Even in those seemingly inconsequential areas of our lives, we can make a huge impact when we do those things for the glory of Christ. Now here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. The reason that you would endure is because you trust God. You commit yourself to Him. And you go, Lord, man, this is not right. This is not fair. I'm not getting the promotions I deserve. I'm doing so much more than these, and it's unfair. He says, look. Don't go grumbling and complaining and fighting and scratching and clawing and doing all of that stuff. Rather, endure it as if your reward is in heaven, that you serve me, wink, wink. There are great things that I will bless you with. And besides that, my young servant, I'm doing things in your heart through all of this too. What we fail to remember is that not everything is about what I deserved and what I earned. It's about who I am. And there are things in our hearts and who we are that we don't see. And God says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to work on it. And it may not look pretty. And it may not seem fair. But I am going to do this work. You know, we like that scripture. He is faithful to complete the work in us. Well, we don't understand. That means He's going to be working. He's going to do what it takes. And that's the hard thing too. And if we don't endure the hard things, if we don't persevere through them, and we always quit or we always stop or we always say, I'm not in for this, then here's what happens. We never learn. And we find that when we re-engage with the Lord at some other time, we have to learn the same exact thing because He's relentless. It's the same thing that needs to be dealt with. And so it's better if you're already in it one-third of the way or halfway, finish. You're halfway through. Finish. Persevere and know this. The only way we can do this is to know this, that God is doing a work that is good. He doesn't intend to harm or kill us or destroy us, but to cause us to become more like Christ. Now, this idea of even if you have an authority who is not nice or maybe harsh or who is unfair, enduring that as a servant of the Lord, that's radical. And that is certainly against the culture today because they say, hey, stand up, fight for what you get. You go after it. You walk over people if you have to. That's the world's mindset. Get what you want out of life. No one's going to give it to you. I see it different. I see it different as a Christian. And I think I'm a testimony, not another testament. That's when you leave. A third testament of Christ. Let's get out of here. A testimony. And that is, I've not really pursued anything that I have. That would include my wife. I wasn't going after her, trying to find. In fact, when God brought her into my life, I was like, absolutely not. No way. She's not involved in worship, this. I have my standards, Lord, you know. And so I have the call of your call upon me, and she doesn't fit that. And so I actually resisted. I told somebody it would take, because they were asking about, well, Ophelia and her, she had a sister. And you know, there were other girls when I was single in the church and I was leading worship. And so they were talking about that. And they brought up Ophelia and because of how quiet and shy and everything she was. And in my mind, and she was also like, she's so pure. So she's so simple, I guess is a good way to put it. Simple. Simple, so simple in her life and in her thinking that she doesn't get cluttered by the confusion of the world. And that's intimidating. I thought, there's absolutely no way I would marry her. No way. And I told this guy, I said, it would take a miracle from God for that to happen. Because he mentioned, I said, absolutely not. I mean, I was that emphatic. And there I have my wife now. I wasn't going to own a home. We have a house. I had no idea I would even know a pastor personally. And now I am one. I didn't want to own a house. Now we own a church. I thought, Lord, everything I never wanted, I find fulfillment in. God knows that even though it's radical or countercultural, it's the best thing for us. And that's very important. Many hate work, but the Bible actually lifts it, honors it. Some say work is part of the curse, but they couldn't be more wrong. Work is not part of the curse. It never was. It's the sweat. It's the labor. It's the toil. It's the resistance in work. The weeds that would come up. That was the curse. But the first thing God did when he created man was give him a job. He said, tend the garden. Tend it. Take care of it. He was taking care of the animals. He was tending to things. He was working. And that was before the fall, not after. Work is not the curse. It's the trials that come along with it now. Work is intended to bring satisfaction and fulfillment. Someone who doesn't work is missing something. And they may not know it, but they will. It will come out. They'll feel it. And sometimes we're trying to find value. We're trying to find something that brings significance. And very often it's not. It's that we're not working. Now, here's a confusion too. Not working in the world for a paycheck and with a career. I'm not talking about that. Adam didn't get paid. He worked. He ate the fruit of his labor. That was it. Nobody was paying him. No career path. None of that. That's a false idea also. A false concept of we're gratified only if everyone takes note. Well, I think there's something to that. When people take note, that is satisfying, but it's not in the work world. Unless, you know, God has called us to that, God has given us that. It's really doing the work God has given us to do with excellence so that people take note. That doesn't mean you get paid necessarily. It could be ministry. It could be what you do and people go, man, you are so gifted. Man, God is with you. This is great. When you do this, you inspire people. You inspire me. That satisfaction enough. If you've ever experienced that, it's satisfaction enough. No one needs a paycheck for that. And that's what we're looking for. So we don't need promotion. We don't need position. We don't need those things. We don't need them. We really don't. What we need is what God has given us. And we need to do that with all of our heart, with excellence, because that's where we find fulfillment and satisfaction. Work is intended to bring that. And work is honorable. In fact, now speaking about the workplace out there in the world, or maybe even in the church, but the workplace, a job. That's the stage where Christians are to minister to those who would normally never grace the doors of a church. It's still ministry. Yes, you draw a paycheck, and yes, it provides for the home, but it is also a place of ministry for the Christian. See, our whole life is a ministry. It's not compartmentalized into the church and then the work, and then this place, and then the school. No, it's not compartmentalized. We're Christians, and wherever God has us through life, we are being a witness. by the way we handle ourselves, the way we respond, the way we do our work. Some people will never respond to a vocal witness because to them, they shut down. It's an argument and they are determined, I'm not going to lose. You can have fine sounding arguments. You can bring the Bible. You can bring it and have the best argument you've ever brought. Oh man, you heard this guy teach it. You're going to take it and you share it. You've done better than you ever done. And it doesn't work because some just take up a posture. Oh, as soon as I find out your end game, cutting it off. I am not going to take it. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to be converted. So there are some who just have that attitude. They understand it. But less than what they will do, they will watch your life at work. Because when they know you're a Christian, they're going to want to find out and they're going to watch and they're going to see, what is this person's attitude on Monday morning as a Christian when everyone else is grumbling or the boss has been unfair, called us into some extra work? What's his attitude going to be or her attitude going to be? Is it the same as everyone else's? What about when tough times hit, pressure situations, they get passed up on for promotion? How are they going to react then? Just like everybody else? Where's the Lord now? They're watching those things. See, and it's in those times where we minister, where we're a light, where our light shines. And that can only happen. We can only have the right response if we're building in ourselves the right attitude toward our work in the first place. Christians should be the model of faithfulness, integrity, dependability, hard work, quality work. Excellence, doing the best, not giving God the leftovers, but everything with excellence. Sadly, I worked as an office manager in the construction world, and I saw Christians that I would not do business with. They cut corners, they're not honest all the time, and they use the Christian relationship to get something. I hate that. I hate the Christian free ride mentality. I hate it.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. There was a joke. Some laughed at it. I thought, man, that's pretty accurate and offensive. I hate that. And it was this. I'll try to crawl off of the top of my head. But a doctor, policeman, and a pastor. The doctor goes into a barber and he gets a haircut. And as he's about to pay, the barber says, no charge. You know what? You do such a great service. No problem. I do it free for doctors. And so the doctor goes away. He was just excited. And the next day, the barber comes back to find on his porch a card and a thank you and just well wishes. Then the policeman goes in for his haircut, cuts it at the end. He's going to pay for it. And he says, you know what? No charge. I really appreciate and respect what you guys do for the community. It's on me. You know, police officers, I'm not going to charge them because of what they do. He goes and he sends him some flowers to take home to his wife, just some things to show his appreciation or sitting on his door. Pastor comes in for his haircut one day, cuts it. At the end, the guy says, same thing, you know, as he said to the others, you know, no problem. I love what you guys are doing in the community. You guys bless us and it's just a privilege. So thank you. It's on me. I'll cut pastor's hair for free. He goes away and the next morning, you know what you find on his step? Seven other pastors. Funny, but sad that Christians have the reputation of, here's the cry, if it's free, it must be the Lord, because we're all about getting the free thing. Hey, I agree. God blesses us, and he blesses us with free things. or he blesses us with the resources to pay for things. But I think it's a sad state when the church begins to become dependent upon the world and the government. We're the ones who should be the blessing to others, not the ones feeding off of everyone else. It frustrates me that Christians would go out and be on the street corners from the world trying to take in money to support our ministries. We shouldn't be supporting our ministries by going and asking unsaved people, people everywhere else that belong to other churches, to support our work. Our church should be supported by you guys. This is your church. This is your home. And if this is the place where you feel like you're getting fed, then we're not going to beat you over the head with giving. Figure if God closed it down, he closes it down. I'm not going to cry and whine and try to make it continue to happen. He stirs on the hearts of his people to give and to support the work that they're part of. But Christians should be the model of support, integrity, faithfulness, quality work. That should be how we are represented and how we represent the Lord in the world. And that's not just when people are watching. Verse 6 says, not with eye service as man pleasers. And also, I might add, not when the money is good either. I only do it when the money's good. That's what keeps me motivated, keeps me going. That's the wrong motivator, because that starts to put money as an idol. When money starts to become an idol, we become a lot like our idol. And our idol is unloving and unfeeling. And even though our idol has "In God We Trust" on it, it doesn't trust in God. It puts whatever will get us to that next money, that next dollar, is more important. And we have to be very, very careful. That should not be in the heart of a Christian, because, see, it's God that we serve. He is our rewarder. He's the one that gives us the accolades. And one of the greatest accolades is fulfillment. To know you lay down at night and go, "Lord, I did what you want." Now, at that point, you think, yeah, we could do everything free, and how do we pay for our house and stuff? God knows about all that, and so he does provide. He does provide income. He provides in so many ways that we're unaware of. He knows our needs, and he's concerned about them. What's sad is that Christians do have a bad name in the workplace out there. They get caught up in things like witnessing instead of working. I've seen it. Long phone calls, talking, witnessing to somebody when you got work to do. In the office, hanging out, took a little break, but man, I'm witnessing. And so turns into 35, 40, an hour of talking about the Lord, the things of the Lord and the Lord, and you need the Lord. And you feel this sense of, you can even feel good about it. You thought, man, the Lord was using me. Yeah, but you were on the boss's time. Whenever you see somebody in the workplace that needs Christ and God starts to bring them to your attention, try to meet with them at lunch, off the clock, and minister to them. Unless you're blessed to be in a job that says, we are ministry. So then you are ministry all the time, but that's not what usually happens out in the world. And so to honor them and respect them, to submit to them, you need to know that God's in control of the boundaries of time, and that we should yield ourselves and work hard, so that when the boss says, you've been out here a long time, talking about the Jesus stuff, and I have nothing against him, but we have to do work here. So get back to work. That you don't go at that and go, "I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake." Because that is not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's called risking losing your job, because they need somebody to do the work. Remember this, guys. We are a witness. But when we witness, whatever we do, we're witnessing in many directions at one time. So it's not only this person that you feel like you should talk to. You're witnessing to the boss. You're witnessing to those who are telling the boss what to do. You're witnessing to others who may be watching, like, "Oh, there are those Christians, man, always just talking about Jesus. Jesus doesn't know talking about him." You're witnessing to them, but they never work. You're being a witness in so many more directions. We have tunnel vision. We see the one thing. And we can forget about everything else going on around us. But we're a witness in all directions. God knows that. So that's why we need to do things right. It's too much to think about Where am I witnessing? Who am I witnessing to? Where are all the people? Where's the audience? It's easier just to go, I'm going to do everything right. Right in God's eyes and right to the best of my ability in the eyes of men. Not to be men pleasers, but because men, if I have a boss, that's a person, and they have times, I'm going to honor those times. I'm going to recognize as my restriction, that time frame. And so I'm going to do it that way. And that keeps us out of trouble and from being a bad witness. Late for work, I heard a Christian in the name of Jesus who was showing up late for work often. And then his excuse when confronted one time was, I have to spend extra time with the Lord in the morning to get my heart in the right place. You do want me here with the right heart, right? I can do so much more. God can do more with the 90% than the 10%. This was his reasoning. Right? You know, they take the Bible and misuse it, right? Yeah, we've heard that before, right? Those kinds of things. And so the boss said, well, then you can go out there and earn your money from the Lord because I need you here. I need you to work. What was the real resolution should have been? Get up earlier and spend more time with the Lord. That's the solution, not work your way into the boss's time. If you need more time, I agree. We could all use that, but do it on your time. Wake up earlier. God's probably trying to get you up earlier. Also, this was another situation. There was a guy who quit his job, said that God called him to go into the full-time ministry now. He's helping, serving around in the church, but he said, God wants me here all the time to serve in the church. This is not our church. This is another church. So, and he said, God called him, and so he ended up doing it. It looked like a noble thing. Man, this guy has given up his job and going into the work, serving the Lord. Well, time passed, and we found out later that he was actually about to be fired. And in being fired, he kind of spun it off into a spiritual direction and said, well, I guess the Lord must be moving me on. And so I am going to go to work at the church, which could probably use me anyway. Now, here's what was going on. He was witnessing to people. He would go, every time the church did something, they wanted to go somewhere, go there. And he was not at work a lot of times. And so the boss was frustrated. The guy is undependable, calls last minute to say he can't do something because they're going to do something else, doesn't plan, and we can't depend on him. And so the people were frustrated with this individual, and the boss was frustrated. That's why he was going to be fired. So though maybe the people who received him said, oh, that's so awesome, God is with you, here's what really happened on the other side. The people on the other side didn't respect that person or that church, knowing that's the kind of people they hire, people who aren't even faithful at their job, people who aren't even... God never told us to forsake the responsibility we have in the world, but to do it better. That's what this is about. To do it right. Those are the signs. When you do that, those are the signs that you're in the will of God, not failing and looking bad like a bad witness in them. When you're under authority, we're just to do our job, not to complain about things we can't control and to trust the Lord because it's Him who lifts us up and even limits us.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in